From dining to living to wherever, we help give confused rooms new direction. This is the Confused Room Podcast.
That indeed it is, and welcome to the Confused Room Podcast. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Thank you for joining us. Please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to this thing on. Leave a comment, leave some stars on Apple Podcasts, whatever platform that helps us grow, lets other folks know that we exist. So thank you in advance for that. Tonight on the show, top five bathroom trends of 2018.
Yes. And, you know, there's trends every year. So it's always kind of fun to see what is the latest thing that people are doing and kind of poke fun at the crazy stuff. But keep in mind some of the cool stuff.
Will these be things people look back on in 2019 and go, why did I do that?
I think I think they might with a couple of these.
That close?
Maybe.
That close? I mean, I was being facetious. I was thinking, you know, like you, what would you say is the cycle on trends like this, like home interior trends? I know fashion kind of changes pretty quick.
Yeah, fashion changes with the season. Home interior stuff, it's usually a couple of years per cycle.
Yeah.
But the thing is, once you've remodeled it a certain way, you're kind of, unless you were just made of money, locked into it for about 10 years.
Sure, sure.
10 years is about the life cycle from one remodel to the next. And I know that some people it's 30, some people it's less than that. But as far as the actual trends and what people are doing, that changes every couple of years. You start to see something new emerge and take over where something will phase out. But then you have the classics that never go out of style.
Is that intentional when something gets phased out or released? And it probably really depends on the product. Like when something's released, is there like, okay, release date, intended phase-out day, or is it just kind of based on demand, where it's like, we know it's going to die around here, or...
It is based on demand, because it's not like appliances, where you have last year's model going on sale in the fall, because the new models need space on the floor. It's more so, okay, this is great for right now, but then you want to show your clients, here's what everybody's talking about in... Name the big city, you know, because things seem to start in the big cities and work their way to where everybody is. So you find that it starts to be a push towards the new latest greatest, mainly because I think designers want to work with new stuff. They get bored pretty easy. It's hard to be creative all the time.
Yeah.
So you start to see that push. And then by the time it makes its way down to where everybody's heard of it and it's a household name, then it's kind of like, oh, something else has emerged.
Okay. I get it. I understand.
It's just pushing product.
Yeah. And if people want it, it will last forever.
Yeah. So the best design trend ever, and this will probably kill the whole show, but is to just do what you like because you'll be happy with this long, happy with it longest.
Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next week. record episode, 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean that is true, but I mean it's one of those things where a lot of folks they see stuff on HGTV and DIY on Pinterest and what have you, and they're like, I want to do something like that, but sometimes it's just like you can see it, but then to, and I'm bad at this, verbalize then what you're wanting, like when you get to the store and they're like, can I help you with something, and you're like, I want the you know, it's kind of boxy-ish and it's brown. Sometimes there's fur on the side, and they're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, by the time I'm done describing it, I don't know what I'm talking about. But it's one of those things where sometimes some direction as far as what's going on and what people want is really what needs to...
And it's important because a lot of times you are real happy with how things are, and then you feel like your room or your space is being kind of dated, and you want to know, well, what is out there now? This is why we do... the top five trend shows, more so just to kind of expose you to what the possibilities are.
Sure.
Not you need to do this, but here's what is now, I guess, acceptable and or possible.
There is a little pressure, though, to to do exactly what Jenny says.
No.
Because otherwise, you never know what's going to happen.
If I follow the rules, we wouldn't be... doing any of this.
If you don't follow the rules of what Jenny says, you're going to wake up in the middle of the night to some tapping on your window, and you're going to see a vampire out there.
But you wake up in the middle of the night to tapping, but it's a tree.
the other night, I swear to God, I was, it was 3 a.m. or so when I usually wake up to, you know.
And you just knew it was going to be Salem's Lot.
To do my thing.
You're going to look out the window.
I was in the, and normally, I mean, we've been here now for a couple years, so I kind of, I've gotten accustomed to the house sounds and what the house makes. But I had never heard this one. All of a sudden, I heard like this. You know, the sound, I can't, this just sounds like
a
wood.
A branch hitting glass. On glass.
And it was distinct. And I'm like, I've never heard that before. But it, and it just like did it like two or three times. And then it stopped. And I was like, is it windy? And I'm like, are the branches even close enough to the house? Because I've never even noticed this. And then it did it again.
Yeah.
And I swore I was going to get off of, you know, the throne and look, and then I was going to see, you know, the face right there staring. Luckily, I did not. So
these are things you worry about when you do a ghost show.
Yeah, it is. The rest of your day is encompassed by fearing that you're going to have vampires hanging outside your window. On today's episode, our creative juice is from Deer Run in the Finger Lakes area of New York. Thank you guys for being our creative juice. They have all different juices, different wines up there. This is their Max Black. It's one of their best selling. It's fun, fruity, and sweet, it says. And it is. It's a nice kind of all around wine. This one could probably even be chilled a bit if you wanted to with a red. Max was the owner's beloved Scottish Terrier who roamed freely at the winery when it opened in 2003, and they named it after him.
Aw, that's
so
cool.
There you go. Check them out if you're up in the Finger Lakes region of New York. Lots of good wineries up there, and this would be one of them. So thank you guys for being our creative juice this week on the program. Okay, so let's get into this. Let's start talking about some of the trends of 2018. Technology.
So the smart home trend has now gone into the bathroom, which can be kind of creepy if you think about it, because there's always something listening for you to say the right word or the right name.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about here is more so automation and preferences that can be set, and you hit a button and your shower starts and it's your temperature and your shower heads.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like color therapy now that you can have installed in your shower to where it bathes you in light while you shower, whatever color you feel like is going to perfect your day that day.
That now does this really do anything other than I'm going to shower in maroon today?
I don't have a lot of experience with color therapy and what colors do what, but there are things with color theory. Certain colors are more energizing and certain colors are more relaxing. So I'm thinking it's kind of a play on that.
Okay.
But I've not actually dabbled in the actual bathing of oneself in a hue to achieve an effect.
Bathing oneself in a hue to achieve an effect.
And with showers, another thing that is coming into play here, and you're probably going to want one of these at some point.
A sensory deprivation chamber?
No.
Okay.
It's a shower TV, and it's a actual TV in your shower, meant to be sprayed on and sit in there.
Sprayed on by the shower head.
It's setting you up to spend entirely too much time in the shower on a busy morning. So it's kind of like maybe that's your weekend shower where you go down the hall to the kids' nasty tub shower combo. So it's 5 minutes in and out and you're on to work at time.
Uh-huh. I like the idea. I listen to podcasts quite often, actually, when I'm in the shower.
Sure.
That's kind of my thing. I don't know that I would honestly be staring at the television.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see it being kind of a neat thing, but it would have to be like a built in to like a tile or something, wouldn't it? Or do they have it like built into like a, I'm sure maybe it exists. I don't know.
Well, it's, I think along the same lines of the mirrors that have TVs in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's safe to be right there. It's some sort of setup like that.
Okay.
And that's another trend is now having, if you don't want it in your shower, you can have a TV built into your mirror, which is one more reason for me to mess up my makeup in the morning.
Sure.
But the thing that I thought was really the most handy out of everything that I saw with the technology stuff is they now have mirrors that have integrated lighting that you can adjust.
Okay.
So that I gave the example of if you get out of bed and you're brushing your teeth first thing in the morning, it's not hitting you with full on makeup light. Mm-hmm. You can have kind of a soft light for waking up, or sure. if you're doing makeup, you can turn that way up so it's bright and you see everything that you're trying to cover.
I bet they have something, I'm just throwing it out there, where maybe it starts out low and then does it, like you set a timer, like within up to in 10 minutes, it'll be up to full power. Almost like the old gym lights. You know, you're going to the gym, it's like, okay, oh, shoot, we forgot to turn those on. So we're going to be doing our push-ups and jumping jacks in near pitch darkness for the first 10 minutes. But I would love something like that, because usually when I get into the bathroom in the morning, especially in the seasons where it is still dark, right now it's already blazing light and I just hiss when I walk into the bathroom in the morning. In the seasons where it is dark, it is more startling because you have like one light, it's like boom.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll turn like, we have one that we can dim and I should just do that. Although if I did that, I would never turn on the other lights. I would just be good with the dim. I'm bad like that.
You're half mushroom. So
I am.
That's why you like the dark and I'm not like
that. The thing is, I like light once I have it and I'm used to it. I like have to force myself to do it though. Mm-hmm. Like I have to physically, if my shades are shut in my office, I could sit like that for almost forever. But then I realize this is kind of depressing. This isn't healthy. Some sunlight would be nice. And then I magically flip them open and suddenly, ooh, I have more energy.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I don't know. I need
that's why we sleep when the sun goes down.
Yeah, I don't like that idea either.
But I think it's really interesting that now you can totally turn on your shower and get it ready by your phone, because everybody is on their phone in the bathroom anyway. Mm-hmm. We all know everybody does it.
Yeah. I like the, what's the technology? We have one of the, a dot. I think that's about as advanced as our bathroom is. So ours can, you know.
It can play music when I'm getting ready in the morning.
Do you use it? I use it like to ask it what the temperature is going to be. And that's about
it. I do that. I ask it what time it is. I have it play music. That's about it.
I also ask it to tell me nice things about myself when I'm getting ready in the morning. I like, tell me I'm beautiful. Tell me I'm wonderful.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It just kind of upsets
me. You need some color therapy.
So I should look into that. We do have those bulbs. They're not bathroom bulbs, though, where you can adjust it on your phone.
Oh, the techno bulbs.
I got this for the kids for a present once, and it hooks into, like, Bluetooth in it.
Yeah, and Harper just about sent everybody into a seizure because she just would spin the thing, and it would hit every color and just, it was crazy.
With color therapy in the morning, could you do a shower like a rave? Where
I guess you could set it up that way.
You put on like techno music and it's just a strobe light with the lights off. It's like
it's not your thing.
It could be done.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad that that we've established that.
Okay.
Is that technology?
That is technology.
Okay. His and hers everything is the other the trend number two for 2018.
And by everything, I mean everything, because they're going way beyond just the his and hers vanities, which is fairly standard in a master bathroom anymore. It's now his and hers water closet, which for those of you who don't know what that is the little tiny room with the toilet in it, so nobody has to be offended.
Don't feel bad. I didn't know what it was the other day either.
And they're also talking about his and her shower. So essentially, you could go into this bathroom and there's like a his wing or a hers wing or however your family's set up. Everybody has their own set. And I thought, well, what's the difference between that and just having a separate bathroom? And I think the thing is that it's accessible from the master bedroom.
Okay.
So it's not somebody has to go down the hall to use their own bathroom.
Sure.
And I kind of thought, okay, that's kind of neat. But then I also thought there's always one in every couple that doesn't clean the way they should. And one's going to end up cleaning for the other one. And that's twice as many showers and twice as many toilets.
Unless the other one just never goes into the other space until eventually it rots through the floor or something like that. And then you have to. And then it's like a hoarder situation.
Well, some of the bathrooms that I looked up that had this, it's like side-by-side glass showers. I mean, you could wave at your significant other from your shower while they're showering in their shower.
That's a little odd.
And if your water closet's across from each other, just leave the doors open. You can talk. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
So I didn't quite get it. I think it's a little extreme. I think if you want that much separation, maybe you just kind of need your own bathroom anyway. Mm-hmm. And I know that that makes sense for some couples who have different time schedules and things mm-hmm. like that. But if it's in the same space and everything's separate, that just, I can't see how that makes a lot of sense. But watch, it'll probably be the thing that's standard now in all model homes, and everybody's going to want it. And I remember the first time I went in a model home, and I couldn't believe there was a his and hers walk-in closet.
Sure.
And I still think that's a neat idea, but I just don't want to clean two showers and two toilets, and two vanities is enough.
I believe there was an SNL bit in the 80s.
Yes, I know what you're
talking
about.
Of the double toilet, where, right. What was it called? But the toilets were facing opposite directions, but it was one unit.
Yeah.
And then they could like sit there and just, yeah. It was like this. That's how it went.
You're just that close to that happening.
We're one step away from this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a double water closet.
Yeah. So why not just do the old? I mean, I think it was more efficient with the other one, because then you could probably use the one pipe. Although if you both flush simultaneously, that would probably eject the double toilet into the sky.
I don't think that's how that works anymore.
No, it would.
No.
That's only in cartoons?
I think it's pretty much only in cartoons.
His or hers, anything else that stands out that's new?
No, I just thought, mm-hmm. I thought we were getting a little extreme there, but that's just my take on it.
If you have the shower, mm-hmm. why not just have a big enough shower for both of you to fit in? Why do we need if you're sharing it with your spouse, what's the big deal? Why couldn't it just be a bigger shower where you both could get ready on your own side, your own shower head? You know, why the glass divider? Is that like, I suppose it could be either you really hate each other or you really, really like each other and you just can't control yourself.
I thought it was odd that's more separation than you have in a gym class shower room.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, if anybody needs dividers and stalls, it's preteens. Teenagers, yeah. You know, just because they're self-conscious and stuff.
Or if you are in the budget for a shower of that nature, mm-hmm. Maybe it's not a shower divider you need. Maybe it's better time management.
It could be that.
I'm just thinking if that time is the issue, I would think that there'd be a better solution than that. Interesting, though.
It is.
Interesting that's the thing with the divider. Colors.
Yes. And I've been on the color bandwagon for a little while now. Mm-hmm. The beige, grays, and grays are dying. And I'm glad to see them go. They can go to the special place in hell where avocado appliances live.
Avocado appliances.
Yeah. And the thing is that it's not just getting away from that. It's going completely opposite end of the spectrum and mm-hmm. going super bold, jewel colors, mm-hmm. adding as much color back in. I think everybody's been just so deprived of any true color other than, you know, plants or accessories. So now everything is coming out in all kinds of shades. I mean, it's not uncommon to see vanities, especially in blues, from like baby blue all the way to navy. Tile, you've always been able to get tile in any color, but that's kind of coming back. Used to be a long time ago, you'd see bathrooms all pink or all yellow, but now the sky's the limit on that.
And not just like the sky version of the color, like, you know, sky blue or baby blue. It's, we're talking
teal,
bold colors,
jewel colors.
That's the point of this one is it's bold colors.
And specifically focusing on blues right now, everybody seems to want to inject shades of blue into their bathroom. So it's a perfect time if you've been thinking about doing a bathroom remodel and you love the color blue.
You have 1 year.
You can find anything you want in blue. But you can also overdo it very quickly. That's one of the things that I kind of wanted to stress with this part was that you need to find a balance with your neutrals, you mm-hmm. know, otherwise jewel tones, any kind of color scheme can get overdone very quickly if you don't have a balance. So if you go navy on a vanity, maybe don't do navy on the countertop and navy backsplash too, you know, just mm-hmm. do some balance or do one or the other. And of course, you know, if you don't want to go through the expense of doing a remodel, obviously you don't have to. Paint is always the cheapest, quickest way to change the feel of a room.
Mm-hmm.
So colors that you're using in the rest of your home are okay to use in the bathroom.
Is the color trend strictly to like the wall decor and like the physicality, the physical pieces of the bathrooms, or does it extend to the actual bathroom appliances as well?
Not seeing blue toilets, if that's what you're asking.
Blue toilets, colored shower inserts, or
not colored shower inserts, but think of floor to ceiling showers done in a colorful tile.
Okay,
that's sure. That's being done. You're pretty mm-hmm. well still stuck. You're not going to go back to the days of having peach or green toilets.
Oh, I bet that will happen at some point.
It probably will, but it's not right now. Toilets are still various shades of white. But mm-hmm. Sink, not the sink itself, but the countertops, you know, different types of materials, especially things that are quartz or recycled, you can get that in a lot of different colors. And that's a big thing, too.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing with the old school. You tour an older home or something, mm-hmm. and you see the older tubs and toilets, and you just know a toilet's old if it's of any sort of shade other than white.
Right.
But will that ever come back? Will that ever be?
It probably
acceptable.
Will. It probably will. I think I take it back. I think you can get black toilets still.
Can
and you?
You
can probably special order from someplace like Kohler, whatever color toilet you want. But if you go to a big box store, you're pretty limited.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I did enjoy the. I think all the toilets in my parents' house are colors, aren't they? Or did they change? I think they got rid of one. I think one is. Maybe they're both different now. We had a golden one.
Uh huh.
Not like you know.
The golden throne.
Arabian gold, like. Prince or any like that. It was like sunflower yellow, I think uh-huh. would be what the color would be. And the other one was one of your favorites, the green.
I know the green still lives on.
Is the green still there?
Yeah.
Still lives on. That thing has got, God. Toilets have a good lifespan. If
the old ones
yeah,
definitely
do. I think that's probably got to be like 40 years old now. It's got to be. I mean, I'm just trying to think when that house was built and when they moved into it when I was little, and it lives on.
So I have a funny colored toilet story.
Okay.
So when I was a kid, I had a peach toilet and a peach tiled bathroom, and it was from the early 80s. And I had to take the lid off the back of the toilet because it was getting ready to cause a big mess and everything. And I set it down on the edge of the tub, and it fell and it broke. And this was like 15 years later. So it was like, how do you find a peach toilet top? And my mom hunted one down because she'd rather do that than just replace it with a white toilet. And I think she probably paid about as much for that toilet lid as you actually would have for a new toilet. So sometimes things happen for a reason and you just have to let them go. Just saying.
You intentionally broke the toilet, didn't you?
No, it was not intentional.
Okay.
At all. I caught hell for the broken peach toilet for a long time, so, yeah.
The broken peach toilet. Sounds like a bad, like, 80s song or something. We'll go to number four in a second. Kimberly has a question.
Sure.
Any suggestions for not painting an entire wall? I have a fat cat that scratched through the paint trying to jump in a window that doesn't have a ledge. Gosh, I don't have the original paint anymore. So
like a wall covering just to cover a part of it?
I'm not sure if that's a question because she goes on to say later that she doesn't have the paint color anymore, doesn't know exactly what it is, but there's ways of matching colors.
There are. If you can peel off even the smallest piece, like the size of a quarter, and take it in, they can color match that. And they can actually match it to the color it is now. Whereas if it's an older paint, it may have faded some and it's not going to be the same, even if you did touch it up with your can that you had. So I would suggest that if you can't peel any off, I saw this cool toy and I'm about ready to buy one. I don't know what I'm going to use it for, but, and this isn't a plug for Sherwin-Williams, but this is where I saw it. It's a little thing, and it's about the size of like a small flashlight, and you take it and it color matches right there to one of their colors, which if you at least get a name of a color that it matches to, then, you know, you can take that name and go get a color matched anywhere. But I thought that was kind of a neat toy.
It's an actual thing. It's not like an app.
Right. And they have the app too. I'm not sure, you know, the app is so dependent on lighting, but this thing, I think you actually touch it to the wall and it kind of reads it almost like a home version of what they do in the store.
I guess the other take that could be on that question is, you'll get the paint, but if the cat's still there, it sounds like the cat's going to keep trying to go at that window.
Yeah.
And it's just going to keep having to be retouched up. So maybe the question is more so, is there anything you could put there that would not get damaged by the cat?
The only thing that comes to my mind would be some sort of wainscoting, because that's going to be almost a wood layer that you're going to add, depending on the style that you want. You know, there's beadboard, there's board and batten. If you look up wainscoting, there's all kinds of different options. And the thing about that is it's cute even on an accent wall. So it's not a commitment to do the whole room, but it might take care of your problem where Kitty's going to keep doing the same thing and you need something to protect it other than, you know, just the drywall.
I have an even better idea, and this will teach the cat never to go to that wall again. A wall of Velcro.
That's just
so, mean. So the cat jumps up there and can't get down. The cat's like, and it's stuck.
Can you imagine how mad that cat's going to be when you're trying to get the cat off the wall?
That would be a difficult moment, but the cat will probably never attempt that jump again.
So yeah.
That'd be my solution, a wall of Velcro.
That's true.
Have you ever done one of those Velcro suits?
I've never done that.
Where you jump and
that requires you to be able to jump high enough to hit the wall and not be touching the ground.
I'm horrible at that.
I'm challenged by that at the moment, so I can't do that right now.
I've never been good at jumping on a trampoline.
Nope. How do you mess that up?
I'm just not. I mean, well, if you're like just sitting on it, jumping, I can do that.
Sitting on it, jumping?
Well, not sitting. You know, just on a trampoline, jumping up and down, I can do that. But the run up to the trampoline, jump, propel. And that's what you have to do on those things is the run, jump, propel. And I like always, I do the total hesitation thing and then it screws up the whole thing. And I attempted it once at a festival. I put the whole suit on. I have a picture of me and I'm like, not even like only like my like shoulder on up is like on the Velcro wall because I could hardly get up onto it.
I did one of the girls' birthday parties where you jump off the trampoline into the foam pit.
Yeah.
That is a trap. Do not do it. You can't get out of the foam pit if you have any extra pounds on you at all. It's a nightmare. And there's kids waiting to come run and jump and climb out, run and jump and climb out. And they're all like, this lady's in the way. She can't get out of the foam pit. It was so embarrassing.
And they point and laugh.
They do. They point and laugh. And that is the biggest deterrent of all.
It's almost like being a child again, because it's just like, oh my God, they're still laughing at me. And they're the same age that they
were. It's like swimming and pudding. It's terrible.
I miss those days.
Swam and put it. I just imagine it being like the foam pit.
I figured that'd be a great, just kind of, I miss those days. And you just move on and you don't preface what you I've never swam in pudding. But that did look like fun on Double Dare. That was something I thought would be fun to do. Okay. Another trend, for 2018 in bathrooms, matte black.
And we're talking about hardware. I think there is kind of an overall shift of incorporating accessories and things in matte black tones all the way around. Shower door rims, things like that. But I'm mainly focusing on hardware because that's going to be the most accessible at this point. And you know, a hardware on cabinetry or in a bathroom or a kitchen is kind of like the accessories you put with an outfit. It can date your outfit or it can make your outfit, you know, and just by changing that, you can completely have a different look. And it's the same with home design where, you know, if you have the kind of greenish bronzy stuff of the 80s, remember the hardware that was kind of ornate and it was kind of meant to look old, but it was almost greenish.
Sure.
had that as a kid. And if you have that on white cabinetry, you're going to know what time frame that was put in. But if you put something more modern on there, on like, say, white cabinetry, you're not going to be able to tell that the cabinets are old. So it's a great way to update your space very quickly.
I always wanted those black, shiny. I remember like going into the furniture stores, and they'd have like one display that looked like it was something out of like Biff's place from Back to the Future 2.
And that's not at all what we're talking about.
I thought you were mentioning the maybe I was off on the black. I thought that's what you were referencing.
No.
I know that that's not what you're talking about here with matte black, but I thought you made a reference to that.
No, I'm talking about the kind of bronzy hardware that was kind of greenish gold of the 80s. I know you've seen it. You're just not...
Okay, I'm just not picturing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know for a fact you've seen it.
Okay.
And I know that my point was that hardware you can change fairly easily.
Okay.
And it can date. And right now, you know, it's been oil rubbed bronze forever. And in the last couple of years, things are starting to kind of go back towards gold tones.
Yeah.
But the newest thing is the matte black.
Will it go to like a matte? I mean, is there like a matte gold? Is that a thing?
Yes, it's a brushed gold, and that's popular right now.
Okay.
And that's kind of my favorite.
It's not the super shiny,
super yellow, high gloss that we just took all the doorknobs off.
Yes, like, and that would be like what my reference was of it would be like the like Arabian Prince golden toilet color, you know, like that's kind of...
They are starting to show that again, but...
Are they?
Overall, I feel like the gold's kind of a richer, it's not quite so yellowy.
Yeah.
It's almost more brass, kind of deep brass gold tone, not just the shiny gold.
Marie says, looks like dirty brass.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of in that line?
The 80s stuff that I'm talking about looks like dirty brass.
Okay. I'm just not picturing it in my head. I don't know why. You'll have to show it to me later.
Okay, I will.
So the matte black is the other color.
Yes.
That we're looking into, or that is going to be is a big thing here in 2018. Okay, the other trend, ready for that one?
Yeah.
Number 5 on the list, standalone bathtub.
And this isn't a real big surprise because people have started realizing I miss having a bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 10 years, there's been a big shift of getting rid of bathtubs and master bathrooms and opting for a large kick-ass shower.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought, I think, was, well, we just don't have time to take a bath, so we just want a really cool shower. Well, if you have time to take a really cool shower and linger in there, you have time to take a bath.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of the bathtub in the master bath has not been ever really a hygiene thing. It was more so a relaxation.
Sure.
Soak sore muscles. When you don't feel well, that's where you want to be kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they're going back to having bathtubs, but you've got to think about it. And I'm kind of going to jump ahead, but you've got all these bathrooms that are designed... Space is maxed out. You got the big shower and everything. Mm-hmm. You want a bathtub. Where are you going to put one? They're putting them in the bedroom. And it's like a standalone bathtub in the bedroom now. And they're calling it, it's like a spa. And it's like, no, it's like the 70s.
It's like a bad mistake. You're going to look back on and go, or the realtor is going to tell you when you're ready to sell, you got to get rid of the tub. And then all the mirrors around it.
Yeah.
And these weird leather swings.
And the pole. What's with the pole?
That's a little awkward. That kind of is probably going to deter some buyers.
Now, I will say it can be tastefully done, but I don't think this is going to be a lasting thing. I think this is going to be something that is popular for a couple of years, and everyone's going to be like, now I have to not only remodel my bathroom to put a bathtub in there, I have to now remodel my bedroom to get the bathtub out of there.
Yeah.
So,
well, and also, what about the moisture? I mean, bathrooms are made to absorb moisture.
Right.
That's why they're a bathroom. I mean, they're designed specifically for that.
Mm-hmm.
When you put something like that, that is going to, I mean, even if you're the tidiest person and you're not going to splash it and you're not worried about that, just the steam, just
the humidity
mm-hmm. is going to infect the rest of the room.
Yeah. I could see it causing a lot of issues.
One of the things that you had been working on, and I think we should talk about this on the show.
Okay.
Today it was really kind of interesting. It's just kind of a fun little extra home tip. in case someone's dealing with this problem, creaky floors.
Yeah.
And I went upstairs today.
Uh-huh.
And I saw you, and you were on the floor with a drill and a bunch of screws.
A huge bucket of screws.
And you were kind of pacing around.
I was happy.
Staring at the ground. And then you all of a sudden jumped down to the floor. Rip a tile up.
It's not how it went.
Not quite. But we had some creakage going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what... Okay, first it involved me figuring out exactly how to fix a creaky floor.
Because
it's not been something I've had an issue with in the past. Mm-hmm. And this is the oldest home I've ever owned. So it's one of those things where I'm kind of learning how to handle things for older homes. And it's not an old home by any means. Mm-hmm. But it's one where the subfloor was nailed down instead of screwed down. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason you're getting the creaky floor is the walking on the subfloor over time, and it works the nails, and the nail starts to slide up. Mm-hmm. And that creaky sound most of the time is the wood sliding on that nail because it's just rubbing. So what I found out was that you need to find where those nails are and then screw on both sides of the nail to hold that mm-hmm. board to the floor joist. Now, finding the floor joist is the tricky part. You yeah. hope that wherever it's nailed, you know.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If it's a squeaky nail.
It's in a joist.
It's in a joist.
Yeah.
So you just have to make sure you're getting the right sides of the mm-hmm. nail, you know, because you can miss it on both sides. You've just got to get it just right. So you screw it in on mm-hmm. both sides, and then it keeps the wood from sliding up and down the nail. And I know that's kind of a confusing thing to describe.
I get it.
I wish I had asked you to shoot some video, but I was just so happy to not have squeaky kitchens.
It's amazing because it's one of those things we've talked about for a while, and you just did it. And then I was walking around today. I'm like, oh my gosh, the floor doesn't squeak.
I had the knowledge. It was just I wasn't real sure
yeah.
that I was going to do it right. But
you did.
It's not something that it is DIY friendly, but the thing is, it's not necessarily as easy as it was for us. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a locking plank floor, yeah. that's going to mean taking a baseboard off and pulling up planks till you get to that squeaky
sure.
spot.
It just depends what you
or
have.
If you have carpet, you're going to have to cut into the carpet and pad, fix it, and then hope that that little square stays there. So because of, you know, we're considering looking at a different flooring option, I wanted to get our floor in shape, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to get all the squeaks mm-hmm. addressed before I have a plank system that I have to take up to fix a squeak.
But if you've used peel and stick,
yeah,
like we have, and that's been such a big thing the last several years, and you're realizing this, I bet this is a common thing for a lot of folks who went from a carpeted room mm-hmm. Or whatever the flooring may have been, and they went with a peel and stick, and now you really do, because it's right on that
subfloor,
and I bet that's something that a lot of people are realizing, going, oh wow, this really does mm-hmm. Affect it, and it really makes it a lot more noisy, but there's a way to do it. If that's the boat that you're in, like we were in.
And there's some great YouTube videos. I was just intimidated. I was like, I don't know that I'm going to do this right. And I was frustrated. But hey, just keep screwing till you feel like you finally hit something.
mm-hmm. Yeah. No. On probably not next week's show, but coming up, one of the projects that we're working on, in a great one for spring, getting into the garage, mm-hmm. getting it cleaned up, and we're going to be working on actually kind of to make that into the workspace,
the workshop
for a lot of the projects that we do.
And it's not a really awesome before and after, but it will be a very helpful before and after because we've got a terrible garage floor. I'm going to make it cheery out there since I'm going to be out there, but it's more so functionality,
mm-hmm.
but I'm really excited about it because I'm tired of hauling my tools around the house with me. I'm ready to just have a dedicated workspace.
And I'm going to paint a mural of myself on one of the big walls.
And I'm going to paint right over it.
And it's going to be wonderful. Well, what should I be doing in the mural?
You can't paint anything but stick people.
That's going to be the mural. It's going to be, guess who this is? It'll be lovely.
So I think it's going to be different for kind of a garage makeover.
Yeah.
Because we're going to add a lot of color out there.
Yeah, it won't just be garage.
No.
It'll be a fun one. That'll be coming up in the coming weeks here on the program. So I think that wraps up the episode for today.
I think so.
All right. Thank you guys for watching. Thanks for all the comments and shares. We do greatly appreciate that. We'll be back here again next week, next Thursday night, 8 o'clock, with a brand new episode of Confused Room.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. If you're listening to the podcast, press subscribe, share the show. We could not do this thing without you. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Confused Room.